The White Judges. We lived in an old schoolhouse, one large room that my father converted into two stories, with a plank staircase leading to the second floor. A single window on the south wall created a space that was dimly lit, even at midday. All nine kids and the occasional friend slept upstairs like cadets in rows of shared double beds, ate downstairs in the kitchen near the gas stove, and watched TV near the airtight heater in the adjacent room. Our floors were worn linoleum and scatter rugs, our walls high and bare, except for the family photos, whose frames were crowded with siblings waiting to come of age, marry, or leave. At supper, 11 of us would stare down a pot of moose stew, bannock, and tea, while outside the white judges sat encircling our house. And they waited to judge, waited till we ate tripe, watched us inhale its wild vapor, sliced and steaming on our plates, watched us welcome it into our being, sink our teeth into its rubbery texture, chew and roll each wet and tentacle piece, swallow its gamey juices until we had become it, and it had become us. Or waited till the cardboard boxes were anonymously dropped at our door, spilling with clothes, waited till we ran swiftly away from the windows and doors to the farthest room for fear of being seen, and dared one another to open it. No, you open it. No, you. Someone would open it, cautiously pulling out a shirt that would be tried on, then passed around till somebody claimed it by fit. Then 16 or 18 hands would be pulling out skirts, pants, jackets, dresses from a box transformed now into the Sears catalog. Or the white judges would wait till twilight, and my father and older brothers would drag a bloodstained canvas heavy with meat from the truck onto our lawn, and my mother would lift and lay it in place like a dead relative, praying, coaxing, and thanking it. Then she'd cut the thick hair and skin back till it lay in folds beside it like carpet, carving off firm chunks until the marble bone shone out of the red-blue flesh. Long into the truck headlight night she'd carve, talking in Cree to my father and in English to my brothers. Long into the dark, their voices talking us to sleep, while our bellies rested in the meat days ahead. Or wait till the guitars came out and the furniture was pushed up against the walls, and we'd polish the linoleum with our dancing till our socks had holes. Or wait till a fight broke out and the night would settle in our bones, and we'd ache with shame for having heard or spoken that which sits at the edge of our light side, that which comes but we wished it hadn't, like settlement relatives who'd arrive at Christmas and leave at Easter.